It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, San Diego? Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Full 4 hours, first 4 hour show since the unthinkable happened. Padres go down. And so we're here. A little bit of baseball. Only one game tonight. Cleveland, New York, they'll be at it. Matt Snyder will also join us in the 2 o'clock hour. We got a fantabulous sports game show. I feel like it's been a while since we've played one.
Fun one today. I got a fun one for everybody today. Something that we can kind of just relax our way through. Although somehow I don't see Scraby relaxing his way through a fantabulous sports game show. He'll probably be throwing stuff across the studio.
He'll be mad as
he often does, and he will be claiming that I've given you the answers ahead of time. That's one of his favorite boasts. You know, I don't know boasts. I don't know who's crazier, Scraby thinking that I give you all the answers ahead of time, or the Padre fans who keep texting us and tweeting us and DMing us that Major League Baseball fixed the divisional series. If I hear that one more time, people, I'm starting to lose faith in you out there. Do you honestly think that
it's coming fast and hard, right?
They are. I mean, people are coming from every single angle on this thing. And you know, now the balls were switched out before Manny hit fly balls to the warning track. And I guess the umpires must have been in on it.
So that they could have the
proper balls to throw out to Yamamoto just before Manny swung the bat. We even brought it up to Matt Snyder, so you'll hear some of his thoughts on how ridiculous it all is. But many of you, we should ask Scraby, since Scraby blames you for cheating. Let me ask you, Scraby, when you blame people for cheating the way our fans are, does it make you feel better?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this is part of the natural, and I don't know why we didn't think about this. This is part of the natural five stages of grief. The first one is denial.
Denial. Everybody's still in that,
It's still fresh, man.
Can we move on from denial,
we don't
please.
Know how long denial is going to last. The game was Friday. Today is Tuesday. We even had a full week yet, so I think we give everybody some grace. They're in the denial stage right now. And
people that are talking to me. Those people are going to be in the MLB rig this for the rest of their lives.
That's denial. It's still denial.
Okay, so they can live in denial for a very long time. As I said,
it's only been 5 days.
I got really bad news for all of us. If denial is first and everybody is still in denial, do you know what's second?
Depression.
No. Anger.
Is anger next?
So the people haven't even gotten to anger yet.
No.
Third is bargaining.
Yeah.
Where you, I guess you go back and forth and you say, well, I'll give this up if you let me.
Yeah.
And then comes depression. Finally, acceptance. Nobody's gotten to acceptance. I know that.
And we're not at depression yet either.
But I went straight to depression.
No,
I missed the first three stages. I went straight to depression as soon as it was over. And in order to get myself a little bit out of it, guys, I did a round on the golf course today, and that got my mind about off of how depressed I was about the Padres and right on to how depressed I am about my golf game.
Golf is not a place you go to feel better about things.
No, but it is a way. It is a way to switch the narrative.
Yeah. Now you're locked in on your bad golf
game. I was throwing clubs around and upset every time the ball bounced into the sand trap. So that might be a suggestion for all of you out there. Go play a round of golf and you'll feel terrible, but at least you'll feel terrible about something different than the Padres.
Yeah, get offline. Give yourself a little reprieve for a little bit.
Yeah, denial. Everybody's still in denial.
I know.
We are five days into it now.
This is how deep the Padres run in this city. I don't think it was going to be a short issue, right? I mean, I can honestly say this might, since 98, this might have been the first time people actually believed.
Yeah.
That it was going to happen.
We had a shot.
And to see it kind of crumble the way it did, I get it. You know, so right now we're in the denial phase, and give it a week, maybe a little longer. We'll move on to, what'd you say the second one was?
Anger. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
the phone line should be lit.
If this was only denial, anger's not going to be a lot of fun. I went straight to depression, and acceptance is still far down the road. But and it's not helping to watch, you know, the Guardians play last night. With all due respect, and who knows, maybe they'll end up winning the whole thing.
What do the Guardians have to do with it?
Well, I'm watching the Guardians because they're terrible. That's why. I'm watching this team. Alex Cobb is their starting pitcher. He's like 40 years old. His back's aching. He can't even bend over. They bring in a kid in relief in the third inning with the bases loaded to face Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. And I'm sorry, the kid almost soiled himself out on the mound, and that might be a little bit too risque for you.
Is that really?
Did you see this poor kid?
Last night,
he was like 9 years old, and they asked him to get Soto and Judge out with the bases loaded. He threw four wild pitches in one inning. And walk two guys. I don't know. Watching the Guardians play, it just makes me mad that the Padres aren't still playing. So
yeah, listen. I mean, I get it. That's the Yankees certainly look like the superior team. You know, and
they just look like they belong there. Right. The Guardians,
Guardians look like it was a little, things got a little tight.
It got too much for them. I mean, and
yes, I do, Tony. I do know exactly what you mean.
Things got a little tight.
You mean they started to not hit?
Steve, what is Voth, the manager? I mean, you got to be smarter than that to bring in this kid in that situation. You got to use one of your better pitchers right there to get out. That's where they lost the game in that third inning with the four wild pitches and the five walks in one inning. It was embarrassing. It was like watching Little League baseball.
Sorry, Chris. Tony's microphone literally just broke.
Like we're going old school right now.
In the middle of it came off of it.
You're looking, you're looking a little 1940s there, Tony. Holding the old microphone.
Let me see what I can do about that.
Yeah,
that's funny. I only saw Cleveland the one time earlier this year, so I don't know their bullpen and who should be. And I know Class A is the guy who comes in at the end.
Yes, but they have a bunch of good setup guys, and they went to this poor kid, and he just was so overmatched. I mean, you could see the look on his face, and the results were what they were. So, we have no microphone.
You mean like
over there.
Deer in the headlights type?
Yes,
deal?
He was totally deer in the headlights. That's a much better way of putting it than I did, and I appreciate you doing that. But it just bothered me because, I mean, I really want Cleveland to win, and to have to sit there and watch Juan Soto strut around the bases and then find out today that he was nominated for a gold glove. Has anybody ever watched him play the outfield? This whole thing is frustrating to me. Don't get me started on anything today.
This just seems like regular old Juan Soto hate coming from Chris.
It is. I've absolutely heard
from many people, not just Chris, and I've heard from people on MLB Network that he's not the greatest right fielder in the world.
Somebody put together a on Twitter today, put together a video montage of him kicking the ball all over the outfield.
The reality
in New York, and then announcing him as a Gold Glove finalist. I was like, please.
The reality is that the Gold Glove is probably better determined now than it's ever been. So, you know, take that for what it's
worth. I'll take it for data, but I'm not buying into it, especially since, once again, Manny Machado has been passed over as a finalist in the National League.
I think we need to spend some time, Tony, on this.
We clearly do. Like, Manny didn't play enough games defensively. Remember,
like 100 games
was jacked up.
I know why you're angry, because Nolan Arenado, who had a pretty lackluster year, was nominated. But Manny only played 100 games this season.
Yeah.
At third base.
Now, if Arenado wins, I'll feel some type of way. But, you know.
Matt Chapman's probably going to win
this time. Matt Chapman should win.
Ryan McMahon is the other finalist. I don't know. Manny Machado, to me, ought to be a finalist for the Gold Glove, even if he only plays one inning at third base. Anybody that's ever seen this guy play third base knows that he does it better than anybody. I don't think he has a Gold Glove on in his shelf, though, for the last decade.
I think since he came over to the National League.
Exactly. So, you know, it frustrates me. Yeah. I mean, we're out of the running right now. If we were still playing, I would care less. You know, I'd be much more, you know, interested in, you know, the games.
Honestly, Manny,
this is all I'm left to, you know, to be concerned with.
Manny's the only one that we should be having the conversation.
I'd agree with you. You could probably.
If we're being honest about a Gold Glove, for sure.
Jackson Merrill doesn't at least get nominated? Mm-mm. And the reason I say that is because all year long, I have rarely seen him make a mistake.
Although it is extremely impressive what Jackson did, playing a position that he's never played before, does not then transfer him to elite center fielder.
I'm saying, like, I didn't see him make many mistakes this year.
It's not necessarily about making mistakes. It's about really making plays that maybe you shouldn't be making, as opposed to not making any mistakes.
So it's like the...
It's about not making any mistakes, but it's about being elite in that position. So,
I could buy that, too.
I think if there's an argument to be had, it's definitely Manny not being being on there. But he didn't play enough games, ultimately.
Yeah.
Scraby, you still irritated about the music we got going outside? I can kind of still hear it in my
head. Sorry, everyone. Our business park decided that they're going to have a concert in the middle of the day.
You know, Scraby doesn't like anybody to have any fun at all. So he's quite perturbed about it.
Well, this happens quite often.
No, it does not.
And these windows are supposed to be soundproof, but they're clearly not soundproof.
Wait, this happens quite often? Have I missed it? Do they have concerts out there all the time and I just haven't seen them?
Clearly we're missing it, because I could only take them one other time.
They do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Another subject that we will cover today is a hygiene issue that Scraby and I have been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
Wow, we're going there already, huh?
We might as well.
I guess since I mentioned the kid soiled himself, this is a good lead-in to what you want to talk about here.
We'll get into that in the 3 o'clock hour.
We're going to wait.
It's important.
We'll get some sports in, and then we'll talk about hygiene
it's
a little bit later.
It's one of the grossest things I think I've ever come across.
I honestly don't understand it right now. I really don't. But
too close in this office.
We'll get to it a little later. As I said, Matt Snyder will join us. We'll have a fantabulous game show, Chris versus the fans, in the 4 o'clock. We'll have a big 5 in the 4 o'clock as well. Let's get to break, get things rolling. Talk about these Gold Glove nominations. We'll talk about Carlos Rodon throwing the ball very well for the Yankees. Kept his motions under control. And Mark Vientos took it personal. We'll talk about it on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, Gwen and Chris here. Tuesday, a little overcast in San Diego. Going along with the mood out there. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, all together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Baseball coverage, of which we have no more this season.
Oh, that hurt.
On 97.3 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Yeah, the Yankees went up on the deer in the headlights Guardians last night. Giancarlo Stanton homered along with Juan Soto in that game. And you mentioned Rodon. He pitched well. He did. The Guardians had a couple of chances late in the ballgame. You know, Luke Weaver has become
balling.
All of a sudden, Mariano Rivera. It's so interesting to me. This guy, how many years did he have with the Diamondbacks as a mop-up, supposed to be number five starter who couldn't get the job done and kept getting sent to the minor leagues? He seems like he has found a niche and then some with the Yankees, Tony.
Weaver has always had really good stuff. He just, as a starter, it just seemed like he would run out of gas. And
so somebody figured out this is a good way to
the Yankees figured
use him.
Put him in the bullpen, and
it's working.
He's been really good. Another thing is I love kind of like the narratives during the regular season that people forget about. Giancarlo Stanton was being, chastised pretty much every game for not being able to run. He's one of their best playoff performers. Like every time they go.
He's one of those guys that always seems to click in October.
As soon as October rolls around,
yeah,
he's a huge part of their success right now.
Something I like about Giancarlo Stanton that I never noticed before, but I'm noticing now, he stands with a very closed stance and his shoulder right on top of home plate, and he leers out at the pitcher. But if you throw a pitch 5 feet inside,
he will get to that bad boy.
Well. Or either that or he'll take the pitch, but he won't ever step out of the box.
Nope. He stays right there. Yeah.
He's like, I dare you to throw another pitch to me.
He's not. And first of all, Giancarlo is a huge human being. So you, as a pitcher, you keep looking in there. You never get any space. It's just this huge dude just standing there.
He's overwhelming home plate. No. And he doesn't even step out of the box like between pitches like everyone else does.
He stays right there.
He stays right in his stance.
I love this. If you go back and you look at pretty much any hitter in the 1970s and early 80s, they were all closed stances.
A lot of closed stances back then.
So many closed stances. And he's kind of a throwback to that. And the funny thing is, you know, I hate to bring up a Padre, but Kyle Gashioka, that is who he reached out to early in the season before he went on that homer streak.
Well,
we talked about it a little bit. He likened it to a golf swing. You know, you hit a ball. You say you fade a ball. You're trying to hit it straight, so you kind of just turn your body a little bit. That's the cheating way to do it. That's basically what he did, and he took off, and he said he called Giancarlo because he made a similar kind of adjustment and, you know, got some good tips from him. Clearly, whatever he told him was working pretty well, but it is interesting to see a throwback kind of 1970s stance.
I find that very interesting that Kyle Higashioka reached out because I don't know that would be that easy for a major leaguer to reach out to another major leaguer.
Yeah, remember, that was his teammate for however many years.
For sure.
So, you know, there's There's maybe a lot friends. More going on outside where they're hanging out. So I'm sure there was
tells me a lot about Kyle Higashioka that he cares and he wants to do anything to be better.
Yeah, he also
Kyle Higashioka was hitting 128 at the end of May, so it's a pretty good
Chris
idea to reach out to somebody.
Chris
I'm not
was
ripping the guy.
Out.
I'm saying I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, no,
he
right.
needed to do something and he was smart to do it. There's no question about it. Dodgers did lose game two yesterday. The bullpen day that worked so annoyingly well against the Padres did not work for them against the Mets yesterday. Landon Knack was beat up pretty good in the second inning. Gave up five runs, including that grand slam by Mark Vientos. Good on Mark Vientos. They walked the guy in front of him, and he felt disrespected. Has any hitter ever not felt disrespected by an intentional walk? You still got to do something about it and credit him. He did. I mean, he made him pay for it. I guarantee you the next time they're second and third, they're going to walk Lindor again. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, put the Dodgers in a situation where you better not do that again. They'll do it anyway.
Let's hear from Vientos real quick.
Thanks again with Mark Vientos. Mark, around the Mets here, they call you Swaggy V. When Francisco Lindor is walked intentionally in front of you, two outs, bases loaded, were you feeling swaggy or insulted?
To be honest with you, I took it personal. I was like, okay, I mean, you want me up to the plate? I'm going to try to drive in a run. Honestly, I was trying to simplify the game. I wasn't trying to do too much, but I did take it personal that they walked Lindor for the bases loaded for me.
You know, I'll be all right if I don't hear Verducci ever say swaggy ever again.
It doesn't flow out of his mouth the way it should.
Doesn't Mark Vientos...
quite cringy, as the kids would say.
That sounds like me saying swaggy. Doesn't Mark Vientos sound like he just, hit a game-winning grand slam?
Listen, I think, first of all, Chris makes a fantastic point. If the Dodgers get in that same situation, you better believe they're going to walk Lindor again. And he's going to have to take it personal again.
He's going to have to take it personal. Maybe he'll hit another grand slam, and then the Dodgers will think twice about it.
Right.
But
right.
It was the right strategy.
For sure.
Vientos ruined the strategy. And, you know, I thought the Dodgers were going to come back and win that game. I think we were watching it in here, and when they got the bases loaded there in the sixth or seventh inning, down 6-3. But, you know, Kike hit a hard ground ball, but it was right at, welcome to what happened to Fernando the other night.
Exactly.
A hard ground ball turned into a double play, and the Mets were able to hang on. So they got a little series going there at 1-1. The big stories today, though, are not in baseball, and we should at least touch on them. We'll discuss them further when we have more time. But if you didn't hear, two big trades today in the NFL.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams does finally go traded by the Raiders to the Jets, where he reunites with Aaron Rodgers. And that's another story. We can get into the complaining world of Aaron Rodgers later.
He threw Mike Williams right under the bus.
You know, that was not a good throw. Was it? Was it
no,
a good
he
throw?
Said, no, he
you
said
threw it over the wrong shoulder.
He said Mike Williams ran the wrong route.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. That's throwing a guy under the bus, I would say. Never mind the fact that on the very same play, Breece Hall was wide open in the flat for about a 30-yard gain, Aaron.
My friend would have loved that. He came 0.2 points away from winning because Breece Hall just needed one more carry. There's so many things like that. I saw someone lose in fantasy because Josh Allen kneeled one more time.
That happens.
Hang with him.
Yes, indeed.
Don't send these guys DMs because they took a knee. Please.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah, the other trade today was Amari Cooper, the number one receiver from Cleveland, goes to Buffalo. So both Monday night teams from last night pick up top flight wide receivers today, and I continue to shake my head at this because all it cost the Jets was a third round pick, and all it cost Buffalo was a third round pick. And I don't know, but if I'm any team in the NFL, I'm going to start offering a third round pick if I can get a number one all pro wide receiver for it.
It is honestly like jaw dropping that
I don't get that.
I mean, I don't get it. I was going to say I kind of get it, but I
but
don't.
You don't, yeah.
I don't get it.
Don't you
don't
think in that regard, both those guys were just trying to get the heck out of there?
They sure were.
The funny thing is that the Raiders said that they were only going to take a second rounder. And I listened to every NFL analyst basically laugh in her face, like, You want a second rounder? Ha! And I'm thinking to myself, you guys are crazy. They should be able to easily get a second round.
They should be. I mean, what third round pick is likely to turn into Devontae Adams? Not very many guys. Right? Yeah, I mean, you might get lucky, but you're not going to get the same value as a Devontae Adams or even an Amari Cooper. I don't know why every team doesn't just start offering up third-round picks. You could get, you know, an all-star team,
They probably, considering that these third-round picks are so valuable, they shouldn't be starting at third. They should be starting at five or somewhere around there.
I didn't get it, but obviously the Jets get a lot better and the Bills get a lot better.
This made, I mean, my fantasy year is pretty shot as it is. This helps like a smidgen.
Devontae going to the Jets. I mean, he's got to share with Garrett Wilson, who gets a lot of targets. But the Bills did beat the Jets last night, 23-20, thanks to basically a comedy of Jets errors. I mean, 11 penalties, 2 short missed field goals, and all kinds of other issues.
Can we stop congratulating the kickers when they miss easy field goals? Like, every single time, it's, let's go over, let's tap him on the helmet. I want one player to be like, dude, just missed a 34-yard field goal.
I just think you don't see that because those players are fuming somewhere in the corner.
It's Aaron Rodgers on the bench.
I can't believe Aaron Rodgers didn't just go slug the guy, knowing his way he goes about
most
things.
Football players, when a kicker misses a field goal or a kick, they are pissed. There's just that one guy they catch every time that goes up and taps him on the helmet like you're going to be all right. Most of those other dudes are like, you better get somebody in here who can actually make these field goals.
Yeah, that should have been a win for the Jets, but it wasn't. And Buffalo prevails.
Good old fat hang with them.
They go to 4-2. The Jets fall to 2-4 on Monday Night Football, putting an end to Week 6 of the National Football League. All right, back into baseball with Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, joining us next. All things, his take on what happened, shockingly, to the Padres at the end of that Dodger series, and whether or not he thought the series was fixed, for all you people out there who need to hear from someone else on that subject, he will address that. And the Gold Glove situation, Rookie of the Year, possibilities for Jackson Merrill. It's all coming up with the very good Matt Snyder when we return on Gwen and Chris.
You know, we were talking about Mike Williams and Aaron Rodgers throwing him on the bus. He addressed it today, this morning, on the Aaron Rodgers did.
Oh.
On the Pat McAfee show.
Now, thank goodness for Pat McAfee so that we get to hear from Aaron Rodgers once a week. Our lives would not be the same without it.
I think Chris woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
No, I wound up in like 12 bunkers today. I told you my golf game was miserable.
The golf game got him off to a bad start.
Man, Chris is usually in a pretty good mood coming in here. But
chipper.
Not today.
Because my chipping, I'm not chipper.
By the way, Cobb, he's done for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Cobb, that's who they go with to start.
His back strain is...
We can go with Darvish. We could go with King. They can go with Alex Cobb, and they're still playing.
It's just everybody's catching strays today.
They're banking off the wall, hitting people.
Man, I know we're going to get into the Jerry Jones issue in the Big Five, but wowzers. That's as low as you can go right there, to me.
But I didn't hear what happened. Can you touch on it?
I didn't hear any of this?
I was at the bottom of a lake.
That's right.
Earlier.
Apparently, Jerry Jones does, a weekly
One also.
105.3 The Fan, our sister station.
So, thank goodness we get to hear from him, too.
Yeah, my guy was asking him about, some of the changes, and he didn't take too kindly. Basically told him that he could have him fired and replaced.
Oh, Jerry Jones can have this guy fired.
I have the audio for the Big Five.
Straight up. Just told him he could basically have him fired.
Someone's feeling the heat.
Yeah, he should be.
Someone's feeling the heat.
Hey, Jerry, I got an idea. Fire your head coach. Hire Bill Belichick, and if you don't like it, try to get me fired.
Yeah, that was just like kind of the lowest of lows.
But that's, Chris, your idea is a great one, but that means that Jerry Jones is going to have to relinquish player control.
Would mean he'd have to say, I messed up.
Yeah, get your ego out of the way, Jerry. He's not getting younger. If he wants to win another Super Bowl, he's got to make some drastic changes
What kind of cracks me up? Not Jerry Jones. Stephen Jones. The guy who just sits next to his dad and really does absolutely nothing of any way, shape, or form. That guy's life has to be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure it is. Yankees Guardians game two in about 2 hours from now. Real quick, the NFL approved two players in terms of minority ownership. Tom Brady looks like he's going to get one, and Richard Seymour the other. So,
oh, Richard Seymour's going to own
somebody.
He's going
to be a minority.
Who's he owning?
The Raiders as well.
Oh, the Raiders as well.
Yeah, so go figure.
So that means Tom Brady never going to get access for his TV broadcast.
He won't be doing Raider games, that's for sure.
Yeah, they had to come to some agreement on how he could do his job better, but not step over the lines, and so apparently they did.
Has anybody yet heard a full Tom Brady game? Because I only watch the red zone and hear little pieces.
I have. How's and he I doing? Have some inside information on Tom. And,
whoa.
And how he prepares.
Okay.
Apparently, the first game he was like...
Apparently he doesn't?
No, apparently first game he was like a maniac. Like he had
notes.
Yeah. Too much. To the point where I think it was too much.
Right.
Next time around he was able to kind of trim it down a little bit more. But as I could tell you, as somebody, you know, who's kind of moved into this lane, it can be overwhelming that for no matter who you are, no matter how much you know, if... And he seems like the type that wants to be overly prepared, which is probably the worst thing that can happen for you when you've got to have a mic in your face.
You know, preparing is one thing, but preparing correctly is another thing.
That's what he's still learning.
100%.
Yeah. I think he has gotten better each week, and I don't mind Tom Brady. Okay. He gave me, actually, when he called the Arizona-San Francisco game, he gave me something I've never heard before, which is when you're doing a two-minute drill, you take how many yards you need to get for the touchdown, and you put it up against the clock. So if you need, you know, 65 yards for a touchdown, and you have 75 seconds, you're good. But if you're, you know, if it's under, then you have to change your plan a little bit. So you go 1 yard equals 1 second when you're under 2 minutes.
Ah,
so I thought that was pretty good.
That is interesting. Never heard of that before. All right. We did have Matt Snyder to soak in, that Padre loss, plus some other things that I'm sure Padre fans want to hear. Here's Matt Snyder. One of our favorite CBS Sports, Matt Snyder joins us. And Matt, I didn't think we'd be talking to you about this specific subject this soon, but as baseball goes, here we are. And so Padres have, I would say, a heartbreaking Game 5 loss. I mean, just what were your thoughts as you watched the Dodgers' bullpen and starters kind of pull off something that I don't think anybody saw coming?
Yeah, they did not. Well, first off, the bigger picture is losing in five games when you're the road team to a division winner, it sucks, but by no means does it wipe out the rest of the season and make it like unsuccessful or anything like that. But, man, having that 2-1 lead and jumping out with that six-run inning in the second inning of Game 3, never would have thought, oh, by the way, these are going to be the last runs we score all season. I mean, that to me was the most shocking thing. When you saw Tatis's bomb, if somebody would have said the Padres aren't going to score the rest of the year, you've been like, oh, get out of here. You're crazy. Look, the Dodgers have live arms. They've always had such good organizational depth ever since Andrew Friedman took over and built the infrastructure there. They're so good at stockpiling guys on the cheap. I know they get so much attention for the huge contracts and everything, but he's very, very good at building out the organizational depth and rolling guys off the assembly line that you just don't feel like are going to be needle movers until you get into a situation like the Game 4 bullpen game where their season was, you know, where their backs were against the wall and they completely pulled that off. I think the Padres have to shoulder some of that load, obviously, especially in Game 5. They should have hit better. But, man, Yamamoto also threw really well. Her stuff was breaking good. It was just a tough situation. They ran into a team that, you never know, we might be talking about the World Series champs here in a little bit. So it was it sucks how it ended. But and you do think, yeah, man, they could have done this, and this differently. But, yeah, it's just it's the Dodgers, man. They have great organizational depth, and it came through there.
Matt, what should the Padres do in terms of moving forward? I mean, how do you shake this off? How would you suggest they try to shake this off? And we've been talking about remembering the pain of what you just went through and using that as a springboard for next season. They're going to be able to keep a lot of this team together. Is this something that they can use moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, it probably sounds too simplistic, but I would mostly just run it back. They were right there. They were good enough to win the World Series. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean that you need to shake a bunch of things up. And as you guys well know, it's not like everything went right this year.
Right, right.
And you can say, oh, man, you know, like it's Pollyanna sometimes when teams have a magical run. Like, let's say the Tigers this year. Oh, we don't need to change anything. Well, I don't think they're good enough to do that. I do think the Padres and Phillies, both, for example, are good enough to basically just run it back and just say the timing wasn't right in October. And you know, a full year of Arraez, hopefully a full year of Tatis, hopefully a full uncompromised year of Machado, not to mention everything that happened on the pitching side.
Right.
So I think that they could pretty much run it back. And you never know, they might even win the division this time. I don't see, at least for me, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see why any big sweeping type changes would be needed.
That's such a good point, Matt, because, you know, we get caught up in what has recently happened, but there are a bunch of young pitchers that got some quality time at the big league level and that you hope will continue to improve. But I want to shift to the Rookie of the Year award race, right? I mean, Jackson Merrill, Paul Skeen, seemingly the two front runners. And it was interesting because over the course of the season, you kind of saw different story narratives kind of take fold. Paul Skeen kind of jumped out ahead as he was kind of lighting the world on fire. And then Jackson Merrill has the month in which he has a bunch of walk-off home runs or late inning hits that were huge. He kind of started to surface. But as we got back towards the end, it seems like water kind of found its level. More Skeen's talk seems to be, at least coming into this offseason, kind of even. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I can't really say that much because I'm a voter. I'll say this. I don't know. Surely I'm not going to get in trouble for this. Those were my top two.
Okay.
I can say that. I don't think that's too much of a surprise, but I'm not supposed to reveal any order, especially now because with the betting markets, like people could bet on
something. Yeah, that's true. We don't want to get you in trouble there.
Can you send us a text,
people out there, like,
Matt,
gathering up, hey, I found out somebody voted this way. I found out somebody voted that way.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I will say this. I've had some votes in the past that I thought felt boring, even Rookie of the Year votes. I've had some Manager of the Year votes that I thought were boring. This was really, really exciting. And it wasn't just those two. It was also Jackson Turrio coming up and completely stepping up after Christian Yelich got hurt. It was Shota Imanaga being unbelievable for the Cubs all year. And that's not even getting into the likes of like Mason Winn and on down. There were several guys that I had to do a double take on. Like, whoa, wait, he was a rookie too? Now there's no room for him on my three votes. But it's because in other years, he probably would have been a top three candidate, but this year there were just some serious studs at the top of the ballot.
Yeah, rookies aren't rookies anymore, man. These guys come, they're ready to play. Matt Snyder is our guest here from CBS Sports. And speaking of awards, the Padres will be shut out of the Gold Glove Awards this year. Doesn't break my heart, but what does break my heart is that once again Manny Machado completely gets overlooked, doesn't even make it as a finalist at third base.
Yeah.
I don't know what he has to do. I guess maybe he makes it look too easy. It boggles my mind to watch this guy for 162 games and not, you know, he's not appreciated the way we appreciate him.
Well, okay, somewhat, yes, but I went and looked right before he came on because I suspected Machado was going to be the main part of the Gold Glove conversation. He only played 100 games at third this year. Yep. Because he had the shoulder injury coming into the year, and there is a statistical component to it now. I just wonder if that was too much to overcome in terms of, like, Ryan McMahon, for example. Arenado, Chapman, Machado are the gold standard at third base, those three. So all three in the NL, those are the three best defensive third basemen in baseball. So obviously Chapman, you know, coming over, he was American League. I'm trying hard to remember. But regardless, Chapman, Arenado, that was going to be, you know, the third spot is the spot that's open for grabs there. And Machado would have that if he played a full season, I think. It has to be that. But it also might be, you know, some of the taken for granted things, some of the reputational. Because I don't know, man. The eye test, I didn't think Arenado was quite as good this year as he had been in years past. But again, he played the full season. Machado didn't at third, so maybe that was some of that there.
Definitely matters. Four teams remaining: ALCS, NLCS. You got the Dodgers and Mets tied up at one. You got the Yankees 1-0 over the Guardians. They play game two here tonight. How big would, for Major League Baseball, would it be to have the two dream childs in there, right? The Yankees and the Dodgers facing off in the World Series. Would that be a big deal for Major League Baseball, you think? As big as,
gigantic.
At least we're making it?
Absolutely gigantic.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's monstrous. Like, I don't think that it would be too big of a step down as long as the Yankees won. Sorry, Cleveland Guardians fans, if there are any in San Diego. I don't think it would be too big of a step down if it was a Subway Series, because the Mets are a huge, huge deal, and it's New York, and it's the biggest media market. But the New York, L.A., not only do you get both coasts in there, but, I mean, the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani, so you're going crazy internationally there.
Yeah.
And to do the Ohtani versus Judge in the World Series, I would say heading into the season, and obviously nobody would admit that, but Major League Baseball, if they had their wits about them, especially after, sorry, the Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. I mean, 84 was kind of needed something a little bigger this time. I think Truth Serum and Rob Manfred, he would say, yeah, we would love Yankees Dodgers. So yeah. I think that would have been the number one matchup heading into the year.
Yeah. Just so you understand, the people in San Diego are not crazy or anything, but if we get any more texts about how the series was fixed against the Dodgers, both Tony and I are going to, you know, punt the season. Padre fans are convinced. Some of them are convinced that the Dodgers were given a pass through, and we can't seem to explain it to them.
Hold on here. I'm about to make your life worse, probably. Manny Machado looked like he got both of those deep fly balls. Maybe they're switching the balls out, giving the dead ones.
We've definitely
heard that one.
We definitely have heard that one before, for sure.
That has even been brought to our attention somehow.
So again, my question would be, if they could do that, where were they in the Diamondbacks making it last year?
No kidding.
Yeah,
no
they were kid. Sleeping last year, but this year they decided
they woke
to
up
fix
now.
It. Yeah.
It was a wake-up call.
Oh, you can't believe what the stuff we've heard the last few days. Matt, I got one last thing, and maybe it's sour grapes because the Dodgers beat the Padres with a bullpen game, but is baseball any closer to doing something to get the starting pitcher back into the game more, and is it important that they do so?
I mean, we heard something about it earlier this season, something about how there would be a minimum innings requirement, you know, obviously accepting injuries. So if a pitcher gets injured, then I think you would have to put him on the injured list.
Right.
I just don't know how that would work. I want to see the starting pitcher be more of a main character. I hate bullpen games. I hate the opener and then having a guy who gets length after him, because the length is usually only like three or maybe four innings. It just doesn't feel right. And I mean, I hate feeling like an old man, like, well, back in my day, they used to go seven or eight, but they did. And that was way, way more cool. You know, we've got some main character types in the postseason now, but even Garrett Cole, it kind of feels like once it gets to the sixth inning, you're like, all right, when's the bullpen taking over? I'd love to get back to a place where it's the seventh or eighth and we're not staring down that 100 pitch mark and worried about when the bullpen's going to come in. I would love to get to the place where we're thinking complete game, like right out of the chute. He gets 1, 2, 3 in the first and second and you're thinking complete game. I would love that. I just don't know how it works with all these arm injuries nowadays that start when the kids are so young. All the doctors I've talked to, it's overuse at a young age, and that's the biggest problem. So I don't know. It would take a long time, decades maybe. But I do think that they're going to try to start doing something like that, and I'm with them. I like it. I think the starting pitcher should be a main character.
It's incumbent upon the teams to start teaching that at the lower levels before we even get to this point here that we're talking about it. Matt, as always, man, we appreciate catching up with you. Obviously, things will slow down here a little bit, but hopefully we have an exciting offseason to keep bringing you back,
hopefully.
Man. Yeah, no doubt. Thanks again,
good.
Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, there joining us on Gwen and Chris. Good combo, as always.
Yeah, hopefully he'll send us a secret text of who he picked for the Rookie of the Year, so Scraby can get a bet down in the gambit.
Scraby was trying to convince me that he can read body language through text.
Yes. Earlier. Can you read body language through conversation?
I can.
Yes.
And I got the feeling he's not voting for it.
The feeling he's voting for Skeens?
Just the way he answered at the beginning of that question was very somber.
Yeah. I think that's the last time Matt Snyder's ever been on the show.
I'm just kidding. After what happened in the series just concluded, we are going to really take that Jackson Merrill thing personally.
Oh, I've already prepared
here.
For it to happen.
I know.
The owners, or the Los Angeles Chargers, just got a new minority owner.
Oh,
maybe eventually he'll take some guy named Tom Gores, purchase of 27%.
That's an interesting story that I can tell you in the next half hour.
Wow. See what happens?
About the ownership of the Chargers. It's interesting.
Wow.
With that guy getting confirmed on his 27%.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Let's step away and have some more Gwen and Chris on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.